Lord, thank you so much for these dear ladies and for giving us this opportunity to be together around your word. And thank you for loving us like you do. And I pray that you would just come and be with my mouth. And I pray that you would give each heart here something tonight from you. And we thank you so much for watching over every need that we have. And please be with the men and help them to also have a good time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I wanted to start by just kind of telling you a little bit about me and about our family. I figured that some of you know us through the music, but that's probably the only way. And so I thought I would just share a little of my testimony. And I started to in my song a minute ago, but I'd just like to give you a little bit more of that. I was brought up in a Christian home. Both of my parents were saved in their teens, and then they got married after that. So from the very first day I was born, I was being taught Christian values and principles, and my earliest memories are the church nursery and just being at church and in church involved all the time. And my parents were very faithful, and they put us in Christian school, so that was all that I knew. But as a young child, I made a profession at six that I wanted to be saved, and I got baptized. But I struggled growing up. As I got older, it just seemed like the world looked like so much more fun than what I was having to do. And we had so many rules, and I just kind of kept looking over the fence thinking, boy, it would be nice to go out there and do what they're doing. And when I tried to be a good kid, I tried to please my parents and please the people around me because I was just that way. So I didn't really share my feelings with anyone about that desire for the world. And I didn't share any of the struggles that I had about salvation, but every time somebody would get up to preach on salvation, I just would be under such conviction. And usually I would ride home from church in the dark in the back of the car just saying, oh Lord, please save me now, please save me now, please save me now, thinking somehow, you know, I could make it all right. And as I got older into my teens, I thought, well, maybe it's just that I haven't tried hard enough to have a relationship with the Lord, so I will just try harder. And so I tried to read my Bible more, and I tried to pray more, and I fasted, and I just, you know, jumped in with both feet, and I still had no peace. And finally, when I was about 16, I said, well, this is for the birds. It's not working. And I think I'll just do my own thing for a while. And so I got a boyfriend, and I got some other new friends that I never associated with, and I began to be very rebellious openly, as much as was possible in the environment that I had. I had, you know, a very strict environment with the Christian school, which I'm so thankful for now, because I can't imagine what I would have gotten into if the doors had been wide open for me. But thankfully, I had parents and teachers that stood around me as a hedge, pretty much, and kept me in from a lot of things. So I lived that way with a very openly rebellious heart for several months. And that doesn't seem like a long time, but it was really. And I'm sure especially for my parents, it was a long time. And they were very faithful to just keep loving me and praying for me. And we didn't have a lot of blow-up fights in the home or anything, but I knew that there was disapproval. I knew that I was hurting them. And it was difficult to kiss my mom goodbye on the way out the door to school, knowing every day that I am hurting her by my behavior. And yet she was always there to kiss me goodbye, and I'm thankful for that. And finally, the Lord began to work on my heart through a lot of different circumstances. I had teachers and friends that were courageous enough to come up face to face and say, you know, aren't you going the wrong direction with your life? And I know that that is hard to say. When you see a teenager, you think, oh, they're not going to like what I have to say. And it's hard to have that courage, but it's good because for me, I listened to what they said. I mocked them outwardly, but inside, I knew that they were right. And so the Lord began planting seeds in my heart. And finally, I realized, you know, I really should probably get out of this relationship with this boy that I'm in. And I didn't want to hurt his feelings. So I said to the Lord, you know, if you want me out of this, you're going to have to do it. Thinking, okay, that's in his court now, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Well, he took me very seriously, and pretty soon things started to very much fall apart in that relationship. And I guess when I prayed that, I wasn't really expecting God to do anything about it. So I was pretty unhappy. And especially when things finally just kind of broke apart, I was very devastated because I had always had that Christian girl ideal. I'm going to marry the first guy that I ever go with. And so I had convinced myself that this guy was the one for me. And if you could have seen him, you would probably just titter a little bit because he was, his mom was Korean. And so he was about 5'2". He really liked motorcycles and black leather and heavy metal music. And if you could just, I really haven't changed that much since I was a kid. And I always liked classical music, and we just didn't really have a lot in common. But I had made this decision, you know, and so I had convinced myself. But finally, the Lord was gracious to let that fall apart. And I went to the Lord with my broken heart because I didn't feel like I could talk to my parents. I was too ashamed. And I said, Lord, it's just not fair that I would commit my love to him and then he would turn his back on me like nothing ever happened. And I could almost hear the Lord say out loud, now you know how I've been feeling. And I realized that the Lord had committed his love to me, but that I had been running with my friends like nothing ever happened. And so the Lord just really revealed himself to me in a new way that night. And I realized for the first time how my sin personally hurt the Lord. And then once I realized that I was lost, I knew I was forgiven. And so it was kind of instantaneous. Once I realized I was lost, I got saved. And I'm so thankful for that day because everything changed. And the Lord became my very best friend. And he has been right beside me all the way since then. And then I will skip ahead a few years and tell you about our family. I met my husband at my home church, and he did not grow up in a Christian home. His family was from upstate New York, where I grew up, but they moved to Florida when he was a little boy, and they lived behind a bar and ran a bar. And so that was his upbringing. But his grandparents still lived in New York, and they got saved, and they were attending the church where I grew up. And when he graduated from high school, my husband wanted to go and live with them because he just knew that his home didn't have something that they had. His mom and dad fought a lot, and later on they got divorced, and he just saw something in his grandparents' home that he knew he wanted. So they said, yes, you can live with us. You have to, you know, help pay the bills, and you have to go to church with us every time the doors are open. And so he said, great. You know, he was very happy to do that. And within about a year, he had gotten saved. And so we're 8 years apart. So I was 11 at the time, and we didn't get to know each other right away. But several years later, when I was a senior in high school, then the Lord brought us together, and we got married when I was 20. And we knew right away that we really wanted to let the Lord bless us with children, and he has. And another thing that the Lord blessed us with was just a great church where we were taught a lot of wonderful things on the family and gave us a really solid foundation at that time in our lives. And I had written a lot of poetry when I was young, and my husband encouraged me to keep on writing because, especially after I got saved, I began to write things about what the Lord was teaching me and what he was doing in my heart. And my husband was always really encouraging about that, said, keep on writing, don't stop doing that. And then after we got married, for whatever reason, I decided to try and put a couple of these poems that I had written into songs. And he encouraged me even more in that, and I began to sing them for our home church. And I really never imagined that it would go anywhere, but the people in our church really encouraged us to record a CD, and so about 11 years ago, we did our very first one, and I had no idea what I was doing. My husband said, we're going to do this, and I was like, oh no. So the Lord gave us a good studio guy. He's a Christian, and he has a studio right in his home, and he was wonderful to kind of hold our hand and guide us along the way. And now, 5 CDs later, we are here, and the Lord has just gradually opened up doors for us to continue ministering, and my husband in preaching, and so it's just been a real blessing to see the Lord work and carry us through. So that brings us up to today. And I want to talk to you a little while about two houses. And Pastor had said that he wanted us to talk about the home. And so I just really asked the Lord to show me what to talk about. And I had some different ideas. And this is what I really think the Lord wants. If you have a piece of paper and a pen, I'd like to do a little exercise just to start off. And then we're going to kind of do it right now and put it aside, and we'll talk about it later. So if you have a little, it doesn't have to be a big piece, just a little piece of paper. And if you could, I'll wait a second while you get that going. All right. If you have your little piece of paper, just for fun, make a quick list of five things you have to do tomorrow. This might even help you later. Five things you have to do tomorrow. Write that list down, and we'll come back to it after a minute. So I'll give you a minute. Everybody's thinking. Don't write more than five. I know some of you have a lot more than five things to do. Just try to keep it down. Be writing all night. Okay. Well, you can finish that up, and when you're finished, just kind of put it somewhere where you can look at it in a little while. Now, because we have the privilege of traveling, we get to travel all over the country, and it has been such a wonderful thing to see all the different regions of the country, and, you know, here there's such a diversity of nationalities, and it is just wonderful to see, and we have been out west all year since early March. We started down in Arizona, and we made our way all the way up through New Mexico and Colorado and Wyoming and Montana, and we've just really enjoyed seeing the West, the beautiful mountains that the Lord has made, and then meeting so many people that are serving the Lord in these places. And because of the traveling, we get to meet a lot of people, and we get to be in their homes, and we get to see how people live. And I don't want you to think of me as the spy that goes around to look and see what's going wrong, but I do have two homes that really stood out in a contrast to me as we were traveling that we came across, and I just felt strongly that it would really bring light to this message. So we're going to start by reading some scripture. If you can turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. And I'm just going to start reading it. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You know, Jesus made just one simple distinction between these two houses. One of the houses was built by a man who heard his sayings and did them, and the other heard his sayings and did not do them. So I'm going to describe these two houses that we have visited to you, and you see what you think. The first one I'm going to tell you about belonged to a family, and I'm going to make up new names for them, but I'm going to call them the Johnsons. And we stayed in their home for a few days without having met them, which was a really unusual circumstance. We actually had communicated with Mrs. Johnson over Facebook, and she knew about our music, and she said, "When you're coming to our area, let us know." And it turned out we were going to be there when they were going to be gone. And so she said, "Well, you could come and stay in our house." And so we always enjoy sometimes having a chance to get out and spread our wings a little bit further than we get to in the bus. And actually, at that time, we were traveling in a much smaller RV, so we were very happy about that. And so we went to their house, not knowing at all what it was going to be like, just knowing there was this house that we could stay in for a few days. And it turned out to be just amazing. It was beautiful inside and out. It was just immaculate. It had a beautiful baby grand piano and other instruments in the front room, and all the furniture was just perfect. And, you know, we looked on the bookshelves, and there were all these good books, nothing questionable, and there was good videos to watch and beautiful games, all kinds of things for the kids to play with, even, like, costumes to dress up in. And they had a pool in the back, and, I mean, it was just an amazing house. And we're like, can we get to stay here? So we just loved it. We really enjoyed that house. And actually, it was so clean in there that we actually kind of used that as a standard for a while in our own home. We were like, get it clean like the Johnson's house. And so we enjoyed that so much. And, you know, this home that we are in was apparently Christian in every way. It just really seemed to shine with this Christian testimony. And to us, it seemed ideal in every possible way. You know, all the beautiful furniture and this beautiful kitchen and this beautiful brand new washer and dryer. And, you know, everything was perfect. Even the clothes were like color-coded in the closet. and I was kind of wishing my husband had not seen that part, because I was like, that'll never happen in our house. But it was just amazing. And we were very thankful and humbled that such a great family would let us use their house. And that's the first house. And now I want to tell you about the other house. And this house was, we did get to meet the family that lives there. And I'm just going to call them the Lanes. So we have the Johnsons and then the Lanes. And the Lanes live on a buffalo ranch. And it's their family buffalo ranch. They've lived there for generations. And they do all of their own work. And the house that they live in was built of logs from their property. And it was built by Mr. Lane himself. And, you know, some of the outside trim is not quite finished. And there's a big hole in the back porch you have to watch out for. And if you go inside the back door, you'll see this huge row of work boots, and there are these all these coats hanging on the wall. And, you know, it's a farm. And they live there, and they work there. And so that's what you see. The furniture's pretty old. It has blankets over some of it to cover up the worn spots. And you might notice a large, jumbly pile of school materials in a corner. And you might see that the windowsill's a little bit dusty and kind of crowded with knickknacks and things. The faucet leaks, the countertops are not brand new, you know. And there's just a kind of a general cluttered feel. And my girls like to watch Martha Stewart videos, and I'm so thankful she doesn't live with us. But she, everything's always perfect, you know. And so if Martha Stewart had to kind of compare these two houses, she would probably say that the first one was top-notch and the second one was, you know, not so great. But that's where we would have to part ways. And that's what I felt was so important to tell you about tonight. Our impression of the Johnsons' home, as I said, was that it was ideal. And we naturally assumed that a family, even though we had never met them, we thought, well, they must be ideal as well to be able to create this kind of environment and live in it like this. Wow, they just must be an amazing family. But several months after our visit, Mr. Johnson wrote my husband an email telling him that his wife was leaving him. She'd put aside all their former standards and their convictions, and she put their children into a public school where they were homeschooling before, and that he, Mr. Johnson, was about to lose everything because they were going to divorce, and the cost of the divorce would eat up their home, and they were going to have to lose that. And it was so far from what we had imagined that my husband actually asked him for his pastor's phone number so he could call him and verify this story. He was like, you know, I don't really know you, and I'm not sure. How can this be? But the pastor told him, yes, this is really happening. This family, with their ideal homestead and everything so perfect and beautiful, is just shattered inside. And all the perfection and the beauty that we had seen, all the order and outward appearance of godliness had come to nothing, which really to me is worse than nothing. A family, even right now, today, lays in ruins. and the lives of their children are just fragmenting off the catastrophe of the parents. And we had to just take a step back from our first impression and say, what happened? You know, how does this happen? Now, I want to get back to the Lane family for just a minute, the family that's living on the Buffalo Ranch. And this family is also a Christian family, and we also got to stay with them for a few days. And I gave you, purposely, a physical description of their home, just to show you, to contrast it to the ideal that so many of us almost worship, you know? We all want to have that perfect, beautiful home and present this perfect image. Well, they just don't have that. But what they do have is so much more valuable. And so what I didn't tell you about the Lanes is that when you walk in, one of the first things you'll probably see is the big smile on their disabled daughter's face sitting in her wheelchair. She's going to just greet you with this beautiful smile. And they're going to tell you about the miracles that God has done for her lately and how he helped her tremendously with these surgeries that she had to have. And then you're going to see Mr. Lane and how he's probably just passing through the house, going to another chore, but he'll greet you with a warm handshake. And you might get to chat with his wife when she comes in to fix dinner for everybody just before dark, because they don't come in from chores until it's dark. And I didn't tell you about the love and the thoughtfulness that the brother and the sisters show to each other and to all their guests, or the way they view their business as a way to be able to make contact with new people that they can witness to. And I didn't tell you about how Mr. Lane came in one day when we were visiting, all hot and dusty from being out working in the field, and his wife had just made banana bread. He took up this fresh plate of banana bread and went around all hot and dusty and gave one to me and to all the people that were in the room, went outside on the porch to see if there was anyone else he could share it with before he had any himself. And I didn't tell you about the joy that he had on his face when he gave me my piece. There's a difference, isn't there, between these two homes? And I think that maybe you can see where I'm going with this. There's two houses. One is apparently ideal, and one is maybe not so big on appearances. One is in total spiritual ruin, and one is built solidly on the foundation of Christ and true Christian living. What a contrast they are to me. And based on these two houses, I want to ask you some questions, just some things for you to think about. And just within yourself, be willing to examine and answer honestly, and some questions that I'm just going to lay out to you right now. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." So my first question is, how are you seeing your home? How are you seeing your home? Are you seeing it through the eyes of man, or are you looking to the heart of the home? Are you more worried about what others see or what God sees? Matthew 6:1 tells us, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." We're pretty good at fooling each other, aren't we? It's pretty easy to do sometimes, because we don't live right on top of each other all the time. And we can even impress each other, but we can never impress God or make him think that we are something we're not. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal." They're temporary. They don't last. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, I think of the Lanes and their home, and it's not perfect. They don't have a lot of money to go out and buy new furniture, but they're so happy together. You don't think about that when you're there. You don't really even notice it after a few minutes. You think, this is great. I love being here, because there's so much joy and so much love in their home, so much love for Christ. So I'm not saying go home and throw out all the cleaners and the vacuum, but if all we see when we look around at our homes is how clean or how dirty they are, or how nice the furniture is or isn't, then we're missing the point. There's much more. We can be focused on things of secondary importance, temporary things, and miss the matters of heart and spirit. So ask God to give you a new perspective, to be less driven by the elusive image of a perfect home in appearance, and more aware of heart matters that need to be addressed. How's the kindness? How about forgiveness? Need some tenderheartedness? Any love adjustments that you could make toward God or toward each other? Any areas that need to be cleaned out spiritually? I know my perspective changed. After we heard about the Johnsons' tragic difficulties, I will never look at a beautiful home in the same way again. I don't think I'll ever look at a messy home in the same way again, because it helped me to see that these things just don't last. And you can work so hard to build up this image, but if the Lord is not there, if he's not the foundation, then it doesn't mean anything. My second question is, what are your real priorities? Now, remember that list that you wrote at the beginning? Okay, take it out real quick and just look at it. And I was careful not to tell you to list the things that you have to do in order of importance. So just don't be too hard on yourself about this. But I want you to look at what you wrote down. And what is the first thing? You don't have to call it out or tell me what it is. But the first things that came to your mind may be a reflection of your real priorities. The things that were right there at the top of your list. Because that's what we think about the most, is what is most important to us. And I say real priorities because I know how we are. We say that we love the Lord, and we say we want to put him first, but it's so easy to let other things get in the way without even realizing. So who put at the top of the list, don't raise your hand, but who put at the top of the list time with God? How about prayer? Or how about teach my children about the Lord? Or have family devotions? Anybody? And if that makes you kind of choke a little bit, maybe it's time to just examine and say, well, what is most important to me? Excuse me. Philippians 3:13 says, Paul the Apostle said in Philippians 3:13, you can look there if you like, but he said, this one thing I do. Now we know that Paul did other things, right? Besides seeking the Lord. He ate, he slept, he made tents, he traveled, he preached, he was a busy man. But Jesus Christ and knowing him was so important in his life that he said, this one thing I do. And that is Philippians 3:14, which says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus said to Martha and to Mary over in Luke 10, verse 42, one thing is needful. And that was what? It was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him and following him. It's not that Jesus wants us to neglect our homes and sit in meditation all day. Can you imagine what would happen? Oh dear. We know that God has responsibilities for us to fulfill. And he gives us those responsibilities. And we need to work willingly with our hands, like in Proverbs 31. But in everything we do, God must be first. Matthew 6:33 tells us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek him first. I have one last question, and that is, what are you building on? Let's go back for just a moment to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You notice that Jesus didn't actually tell us anything about the houses that were built. He didn't give us the square footage or the price. He didn't give us any description of these houses. They could have been fancy houses, or they could have been plain houses. Maybe one was fancy and one was plain. We don't know, because it doesn't matter. To Jesus, it didn't matter the type of house being built. What mattered was what it was built upon. On one hand, we have the wise man, the one who hears God's word and does it, building on the rock. And on the other hand, we have the foolish man, the one who hears God's word and doesn't do it. He's building on the sand. So there's only two choices. There's no in between. Either be wise and build on the rock of God's word, or be foolish and build on anything else. There's no middle ground. We don't hear anything about a man who was partly wise and built his house on sandy rocks, right? There's just a wise man and a foolish man. Jesus is very clear. We will be either wise or foolish. We'll either follow him or we'll follow something else. Now, maybe you're like me. We have to constantly battle worldly influences that try to get our attention. We have to battle the tendency to get off track when we get busy in our daily work and responsibilities. I get busy. I'm sure you ladies do too. If you're a mom or if you're just a young lady in school, there's always something to do. And it's easy to get discouraged and wonder if you'll ever have it all together. Well, I've had people tell me that I have it all together, and I'm not sure where they get that information, but I surely don't. And I'm just thankful that the Lord is merciful and faithful. And just remember this, that if you are seeking to live according to God's will, seeking to establish your home or your life on godly principles, he is more interested even than you in seeing this done. There's no love like his love, and there's no mercy like his mercy. Psalm 103:14 tells us, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." He knows what we're made of, and he's merciful to us. So what we need to do in all these things is to seek God's help. Ask him to help you see as he sees. Ask him to help you value what he values, and to set the right priorities. And ask him to help you build your home on his truth. You know, the best thing that we can do in any areas where we struggle is to be honest with God, because he sees us just as we are. Think back to that home of the Johnsons and how perfect it was. But really, they weren't being honest. Maybe not even with themselves, because the beautiful presentation that they made was not a realistic representation of who they are or who they were. The best thing we can do is to just be honest with God, because he sees it all anyway, you know? It's kind of silly, isn't it, to hide from God like Jonah, as if God wouldn't know where Jonah was? It's kind of silly. Just be honest with God and say, "Lord, I'm struggling in this area and I need your help." Did you know that God is interested in helping you with everything? I remember when I read a book by a mom who wrote this wonderful book called Managers of Their Homes, and it was all about how to set up a chore chart and get your kids in order and get things going. And when I looked at it, I was kind of discouraged at first, because I thought, I just don't think I'll ever be able to do all this. But then I started reading the book, and the very first chapter, she said, just ask God for help in these areas. And it was like the light clicked on. I thought, oh, well, I could do that. But that's what we need to do. We can't build our homes at all without his help. I just remember there's just two choices, build on Christ or build on sand. And I really hope that you're ready to make that right choice tonight. I hope you're making that choice now and that the Lord will just keep leading you along his way. I'm going to pray, and I don't know how much time we have left. Do we have time for a song after that? Okay. Lord, thank you so much for this truth from your word. Thank you for your love and faithfulness and mercy. And I pray you just help us to follow after you in everything that we do, to remember to see as you see and value what you value, and to build on your word. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.